Friends, I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. We have a scripture reading here. This is a... I went to visit Jackie a couple of weeks ago. I just asked her. It's always nice to get people's perspective. What is their favorite scripture reading or what verse in the Bible? And this is the one that she gave me. And I thought it would be appropriate to kind of share that with you here today. So Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And notice what it says here. Oh, where are we? Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Man, we could spend a whole sermon just on that verse alone, couldn't we? But I just want you to take that in and reflect upon that today, especially as Jackie and Riley a little later are going to dedicate their lives to the Lord through the waters of baptism. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we just reflect upon this scripture this morning, and as we open the Word of God now, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come upon us and speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to understand you afresh as we reflect briefly upon the meaning of baptism today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Few people would ordinarily be able to celebrate the three greatest events of their life on the same day. And yet, this is exactly what's going to happen this morning with both Riley and with Jackie. They're both going to experience birth, marriage, and death. Didn't know that, guys, did you? Riley getting married today. So are you, Jackie. To someone else. But in a good way. And we see this represented, of course, through the waters of baptism. Let's have a look at this in the scripture just briefly. Come with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I'll show you how we come to that conclusion. Okay, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Alright, notice what it says in the scripture there. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were what?" What does it say? "As were baptized." Maybe you're not there yet. "Were baptized," it says, "into Jesus Christ," were baptized into his what? Death. Man, okay. Verse 4. "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Very, very interesting verse there, isn't it? Please notice that death to sin is involved in baptism. And as well as a rising up to a new life or a new spiritual birth. All right, we're going to unpack that a little more in a moment. Another verse that bears this out is Romans chapter 7, just the next chapter. Romans 7 and verse 4, it says there, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be" what? What does it say? "Married to another, to him who was," and it says there, "raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." Can you see that idea, dear friends, of being buried, dying, being buried, being reborn, and then being married as well? So the newborn Christian is described as being married to Christ here in this particular verse. In fact, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5, it says, "For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." So, friends, just as a woman, there's a picture of yours truly and my beautiful wife some 19 years ago. Just as a woman takes her husband's name in marriage, so Marcia, she went from Chio to William. I think she was happy with that improvement. So too, don't tell her that, if no one's recording. So too does a Christian take the name of Christ, okay, therefore to be called a Christian, okay? Don't tell her that, she'll kill me. So we see, friends, both ceremonies, both marriage, as well as baptism, must be based upon love and commitment. Amen? Would you agree with that this morning? It has to be based upon love and commitment, if they are to be meaningful. So we see that baptism, friends, is as essential to the Christian life as a wedding is to marriage. Alright, so this morning, friends, we are going to witness the amazing feats of Jackie and Riley. Right, we're going to witness their spiritual rebirth. We're going to witness their marriage to Christ. And ultimately, we're going to witness today their death to sin as well. Now, I'm going to make a strong statement now that it might shock some of you, or at the very least, cause some of you to think. Guys, we have some seats up the front. Up here, if you want to come forward, you're welcome to sit here. I know I embarrass you, it's all right. Okay, here's your statement. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary doesn't mean one single thing to you or to me personally unless we are buried with him in baptism. Let me unpack that a little. Before you think I'm starting to preach some weird new doctrine, again, come back with me, or you're still there, Romans 6, 3 to 5. We read before, it says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. But then it says in verse 5, notice, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, i.e. baptism, okay, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, there it is, friends. The death of Jesus, his burial and resurrection, doesn't avail anything at all to our case unless the blood is applied. Baptism means nothing. It means just getting wet if Christ isn't a part of that equation. Unless his death and burial become a personal matter in my life. Now, how is this all accomplished, friends? Simply through baptism. Now, I want you to notice with me that baptism represents three specific things. It's kind of already alluded to while I've been reading. Firstly, it represents a dying to sin, okay? The old simple way of life. As we spend time with Jesus, as we open the Word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to work upon our heart, and we begin to see that there are things in our life that are not consistent with the things that we're reading here in this book. And so the Holy Spirit begins to bring about this change and transformation, at least this conviction. In fact, Jeremiah 79, it says there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So can we really trust our own hearts? Can we? No, absolutely not. As we draw closer to Jesus through the leading of the Holy Spirit, we begin to recognize that there's this incongruence between our life and between the life of Jesus Christ. And we're not in harmony with his will. And so what we do is then we invite Jesus to come into our hearts, to bring about that transformation, to change those inclinations towards doing the wrong thing, and allowing this power from outside of us to bring about that change. But friends, that change can only come through Christ, amen? If you and I try and bring about those changes in our life, how far do we get? Do we get very far? Yeah, we may a day or maybe a couple of minutes, whatever, we may do well, but ultimately fall and stumble. Only God, Jesus, can give us that power to overcome sin in our life. And that's why it's so important that we have him in our hearts. Secondly, we find that baptism, it represents the burial of our sins in a watery grave. It not only symbolizes death to sin, that is the death to our former way of life, but it also symbolizes its burial as well. Okay. Now this morning I'm going to fully immerse Riley and Jackie underneath the water. And while they are submerged there, Jackie and Riley will need to briefly hold their breath for a moment. If they don't, water's going to come rushing in. It's not going to be a nice experience. And trust me, I have baptized someone like that in the past and they come up popping and choking. It's horrible. So they will be holding their breath, all right? Which of course, the cessation of breathing symbolizes what? Death. It symbolizes death. As Christ was buried in the tomb, he took our sins with him into the grave. And there they are to remain, no more to resurface. All right? So finally, baptism also represents the rising again out of the water to walk in the newness of life. As Jesus rose from the grave through the power of the resurrection, we too are resurrected as well in the newness of life. That we can have that power in order to allow him to bring about that transformation and change. Through his Holy Spirit, we can live victoriously in the present because of Christ. Amen? We can have that experience today, friends. So what are some of the prerequisites then when it comes to baptism? What do we need to consider? Well, just as a person doesn't enter lightly into a marriage covenant with another person, so too we should not enter lightly into baptism as well. It's a serious commitment to Jesus. It's not something that you just run and jump and do. It's something you need to think about and pray about and invite, again, the Holy Spirit to bring about that conviction, that need to surrender completely in order to allow him to bring about those changes. So then let's have a look at some principles outlined in the scriptures regarding our preparedness, that's even the word, for baptism. Step number one, to believe. It's important that we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. You think that's important? Absolutely. Mark 16:16, it says, he who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. Only one person knew it. Is it important then to believe in Jesus? If we want salvation, absolutely. Very, very important. And we see that in this particular statement that Jesus links baptism with salvation. He brings the two together. In order to receive eternal life, one must believe and be baptized. Says that very clearly. However, belief in Jesus, friends, just goes beyond just a intellectual assent to the historical reality of who Jesus was or what he did. You know, we can read about Jesus in books outside of the Bible, but if we only had that type of relationship with God, is that going to save us? No, we need Jesus in the heart. He needs to be a living reality inside of our heart. All right, second thing we need to be. We should understand the teachings of Jesus as well as be committed to following them. Okay? Mark 16:15, it says there, we are to preach or teach the gospel and then to baptize. We see there very clearly, friends, that there is a link there. It starts with going, then preaching or teaching the word of God, and then ultimately being baptized. It's not the other way around. You get baptized and then you get taught. You know, we need to understand what it is that we are getting ourselves into. Jesus doesn't want to pull the wool over our eyes and kind of sneak us in. He wants us to fully understand, comprehend what it is when we give our lives to Christ and be baptized, that what we're getting ourselves into. But it also signifies a commitment in another sense. It's a commitment to God's church as well. When the people on the day of Pentecost approached Peter and asked him, you know, what must we do to be saved? Peter replied in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, what was their response to Peter's preaching that day in Jerusalem? It goes on in verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word, so as a result of Peter preaching the word of God, it said, those who received his word gladly were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, the question is, of course, who is the to them? Do we just baptize people and let them go off and do their own thing and, you know, chill out, hey, I've been baptized now, it's all good, I'm going to heaven, that's all I need? Is that kind of what it's talking about? Well, we can ask that question. Added to who? It goes on in verse 47. It says, the Lord added to thee. What was it? Come on, Bible students, what is it? Added to thee what? Church, thank you. Added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we see, friends, that it is important that a person understand and accept the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's important, but also be willing to enter his body, the Christian church. That's very important as well. Third point, we should confess our sins and repent of them. All right. Unless a person believes in Jesus Christ and repents or turns away in sorrow for their sin, baptism basically is going to be of no avail. You can jump in here, get baptized all you want, but it's not really going to do nothing. You know? You're just getting, again, just getting wet. There are no magical properties there that I've kind of sprinkled in this morning before everyone came today that's going to bring about that change in our life. That's not what happens, friends. It's faith in Jesus, a connection, a relationship with Jesus Christ that brings about that change. Amen? Amen. It would be nice if we could sprinkle some magic seasoning in the water and then all be changed and perfect Christians. That would be awesome, but it doesn't unfortunately work that way. So, yeah. So the washing away of our sins doesn't come through the rites or the ritual of baptism, friends. It comes through trusting in Jesus and allowing him to bring about those changes in our lives. And finally, another prerequisite for baptism is that it's important to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and experience rebirth, this idea of rebirth. I think it's safe for me to say this morning that all of us here have experienced a natural birth. There's anyone here who hasn't had a miraculous birth, please come and see me at the end of the service. I'll be very interested to hear how it is you were born into this world. But the Bible speaks about another type of birth, of course, a spiritual rebirth, if you like, that we must all participate in if we want to enter into the kingdom of God. Come with me in your Bibles, just quickly, to John chapter 3 and verse 5. We read about this rebirth experience here. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice what Jesus said to Nicodemus one evening. He said to him there, John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, it says there very clearly that he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So would you say baptism is important if we want to go to heaven? What do you reckon?
Yes.
Very, very important, isn't it? Very, very important indeed. According to Jesus, baptism is essential for those who want to enter into heaven. And so to be born again, that is transformed by the Holy Spirit, that prepares us for that future reality. We have the reassurance of that here and now, but the future reality when Jesus Christ comes back and takes us home, that will happen then as well. So in just a few moments, Jackie and Riley are going to experience that new birth into Jesus Christ. So what have we seen? Just in closing, we've seen today that baptism is first and foremost a memorial of Christ's death, his burial and resurrection. Being immersed underneath the water, being buried in the water, we've seen symbolizes our death to sin. Being lifted up out of the water pictures our resurrection with Jesus Christ. Secondly, we've also seen that it represents a symbol of marriage, our desire to be united with him who is altogether lovely. Thirdly, we've seen that baptism as well, it represents a cleansing or a separation from the things of this world to become more like Jesus, to fix our eyes on him, the author and finisher of our faith. And then finally, we've seen that it acknowledges our choice to be united with Christ and to join his visible church as well. Today, Jackie and Riley, they understand the significance of this union, this marriage with Jesus Christ. And today, they have made a decision to follow their Lord into the waters of baptism. And so, Jackie and Riley, they recognize this morning that baptism represents, again, a dying to the former way of life. It also represents a burial of their sins in a watery grave. And it also represents a coming up out of the water to walk in the newness of life with Jesus. Today, friends, is a celebration, amen? It's a wonderful thing. It's like, it's marriage, man. It's awesome. Who loves going to marriages and seeing, you know, the couple come together? Awesome. I see two hands going up the back there. Praise the Lord. And that's what's happening today, guys. We want to give God all the praise, glory, and honor. Now, we know, friends, all of us, we're certainly happy to see these guys going through this step and doing this. But, friends, guys, Jackie, Riley, heaven is rejoicing at this very moment as well, because of this awesome decision that you're making today as well. We want to commit you both to the Lord in a very special way.